lesson. What is she talking about? Huh? Have I moved it already? And I hadn't even... Ah, there it is. Thank you, Ken. Ken got it back to where it's supposed to be. I didn't even touch it and it did it. I can do it mentally. Look at this. You say you don't have enough mental to do that. Thomas Edison did a lot of things. He created or invented a great many things that we are blessed with today. One of the things is these lights. He invented the first light bulb. They had worked for a long time. Many things he tried did not work, and finally they figured out how to do it. They spent 24 hours making the first light bulb. They got it made. They took that light bulb and they gave it to a young man, and Edison said, take it upstairs. The young man started taking it upstairs, and you know what happened? He dropped it. Broke it. 24 hours of hard labor. I can hear those fellows that were working going, oh no. But they did it again. They made another one. Guess what Edison did? He called for the same young man, and he put that light bulb in his hand again, and he said, take it upstairs. Now, he's already dropped it one time. Would you give it to him again? Edison wanted this young man to know, one, you're forgiven, and two, I've got confidence in you. Can you realize that this young man felt like nothing before that, but he felt like I'm something now. I've been forgiven. Do you know what it is to be forgiven? Do you know what it is for somebody to forgive you of a wrong that you have committed? I hope you remember that. I hope you don't forget that. I hope that's in your mind and you're thinking about that all the time, because that's something we need to know and we need to be assured of. It feels so good to be right with God. It feels so good to be right with other people. Sometimes we can't be right with men. Sometimes it won't work. Sometimes men, they just don't want to be right with us. But I want us to look at something today. I want us to look at this parable that we see that was read in your hearing a while ago. Here's a man who, he has a farm. He's prepared it. He's done everything for it. Most people don't realize how hard it is to really start and set up a farm or a vineyard like he's got. But it took a long time to do that, a lot of money. And usually you don't get a big benefit out of that the first year. It takes a while to do that. I think I've mentioned to you in North Georgia, they started a fellow up there wanted to start a winery, and he planted these plants. They said it would be 7 years before he'd ever get any grapes off those plants, those vines that he had planted. 7 years of pruning and preparing and getting ready for it. This man goes into the far country and he leaves people in charge. They're supposed to send him money, but they don't send it. So he sends a fella over and says, you know, maybe y'all forgot to send the check, but there's no money coming in. They beat that guy and sent him back. Well, fella sends another fella, a little more important. You know, go over there and get the money. They kill him. What's this guy supposed to do? Well, he says, I'll send my son. And they'll have a respect for him, and they'll send that money. He sent the son, and the son was killed too. What's his story about? It's about a God who wants to help man. It's about a God who wants to forgive man. I hope you can realize and understand the forgiveness of God, and you know what that is. Most of us, because of sin within us and on us, we just don't see this thing of God's love for us. This illustration that you have up here now is showing us, here is man that's separated from God. There's a great gulf fixed and man can't get over there. God wants it done. God wants it to be there. So he sends his son down to save man. But let me tell you something. Jesus did more than just come to save man. Jesus came to show people God, to let those people see God and know who God is. Oh, they had heard about his thunders. They'd heard about his punishing people. They'd heard about him bringing his people out of Egypt. They'd heard about all those things. But sometimes we forget about that. And we forget what God has really done for us. I want to mention just a few things that God has done for mankind. I guess we could mention Genesis 1 where God created man. We could talk about that. And we could talk about that for a long, long time. But look at this. I want you to see this. God has given us so much. First of all, we've got to realize God sent Noah to the earth. Genesis 6. The world was wicked. Even the thoughts and the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. And so God, because of that sin in the garden, because of his forgiving man there, he sent people to try to tell these people. Noah preached for a long time to get these people to change. They wouldn't do it. And finally God said, I'll send a flood and I'll cleanse this earth. And he did. And he took Noah and his family and saved them, and they started humanity again. It did not take long for man's thoughts and imaginations and his heart to be evil again continually. What's God going to do now? Is he going to destroy the earth? Is he going to destroy man? How is he going to handle that? Mankind began to sin. But look at this. God sent Moses. Children of Israel are now in Egypt. They're slaves down there. They're being oppressed. They're going to bed at night with a prayer on their lips. God, deliver us from this. God, take us out of this land. Help us to go back to that land. Moses came and said, listen, God wants you to be in a land that flows with milk and honey. God's going to place you in that land. God's going to give you that land. You're not going to have to be those people that are going to have to prepare gardens. They're going to be there for you. You're not going to have to plant vineyards. They're going to be there for you. You're not going to have to build houses. They're going to be there for you. You're going to have all these things. I'll bring you out. Remember the 10 plagues? Showing the gods of Egypt the true God and who he was. And those people are willing to give of all that they have. They give jewelry. They give all these things, gold and silver, to these people so that these people can leave, and they will leave. So here they go out triumphantly. Someone has said over 1 million people walked out that day. Over 1 million people. It did not take them but about 100 miles or less than 100 miles. And these people were talking about God. They were fussing about God. They were saying, we need to go back down into Egypt. We're going to die here. You've led us out to this land to kill us. No. God's led you to a land that flows with milk and honey. The wilderness wandering because men would not turn from sin. Men would not turn back to God and follow God. They would not do the will of God. God gave this law of Moses. He gave his will to man. This is how I want you to conduct yourself. This is how I want you to live. And he said, I know that you may not be able to do all this, but let me tell you something. What I can do is I can offer a sacrifice. You know those animals that I've created? I want you to sacrifice their blood on an altar. And you do it year by year. So that you can see the sin that you have on you. You're going to have sin year by year. We have that today. And so here is this sin, year by year, placed upon man. And so here is man that needs God, and God gives him a way. God prepares a way for him. But it doesn't take very long till man's right back into sin again. And then you got to have the psalmist David that comes in. David is coming in with his psalms. Psalms 23, and I just wanted to read that to you. Most of us can quote it, but listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The reason, because he's God. He takes care of me just like I'm a little lamb that I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, and he's the shepherd of me. That's what David was trying to tell the people. Listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For God, you're with me. You're there with me. Your rod and your staff, that thing that the shepherd used to protect and to guard those sheep, you have that and you're guarding over me. You're protecting me. You're helping me. Listen, as he goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You're there placing me in a place of honor in front of my enemies. That it's just like God telling Satan, this is my, look at Job, look how wonderful he is. In this psalm, it's saying, look at my humanity. Look at how wonderful they are, Satan. Look at how great they are. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell, live, be a part of the house of the Lord. Well, we know what David did. David sinned. He goes to God and asks God to forgive him, and God forgives him. Now, if you read the Psalms, you need to read the Psalms where David talks about God's wonderful forgiveness for his sins. How that he's blotted them out. David on one occasion said, you know, this sin is on me just like my, it's kind of like an arthritis. It's in my bones. It hurts. But God said, I'll remove that. I'll cleanse that. I'll forgive you of the things that you've done wrong. That's what David was going to have. That's what God was going to give to David. Now, look at this. God not only sent all those things to encourage man to do what's right, but God sent Isaiah, the prophet. Isaiah's job was to go to the people and tell the people about God and that God wanted them to come back. Now, the people didn't understand that, but he did it anyhow. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. Listen to this. Starting of the book, helping us to see what it's about. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Come over here and let's discuss this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the sin. Let's talk about I'll forgive you. Let's talk about I love you and I want the best for you. I want you to understand that. I want you to see that. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They'll be cleansed. God said, if you're willing and obedient, I'm here for you. That's basically what Isaiah was trying to tell the people. He wanted them to see God's giving you another chance. Somebody said, God is the God of the second chance. Let me tell you something. Don't limit it there. He's the God of the third and the fourth and the fifth and the tenth and the hundredth and the thousandth chance. If we'll be willing to repent of sins, God is willing to forgive us. Look at all these times that he's done this. Look at all the times that man has sinned, but God's been there for him. God's trying to bring him back in. God's trying to bring him back in like a mother would a crying child and said, come on over here, hon, and get in my lap. Let me hold you. Some of you know how good that is. To hold those children, to hold those grandbabies, and them sitting there, and they're laying their head on your chest. Ah, man. But now you think about God, and God wants to hold you just like that. God wants to wipe away every tear. God wants every problem to be gone because of who he is. He wants that. Now that's what he wants. But mankind goes back into sin again even after the pleading of David and after the songs of David and after the encouragement of David. They go back into sin. So God says, listen, if you don't change, if you don't turn people, I want you to understand you're going away into captivity. God was going to take the evil people of the world and he was going to punish the good people. You say, that's not right. Yes, it is. The good people were not good. It's one thing for a person not to be good that doesn't know to do any better. But it's another thing when people have a law and they know what they need to do and they don't do it. It's worse. It's worse. Both are lost. But one had a hope. And so these kings, these evil kings, they came in and brought God's people into captivity. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 listed, Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, here it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart that we have. Now, look at this. I want you to see the transition here in this. Here, every plan seemed to have failed because man's heart was evil. Man was going to sin. Man likes sin. And he's going to go back to it. But what we've got to understand is that God here was one who wanted to try to help man. That God was one that had a greater thing than man could even conceive. Mankind thought God's going to come down and he's going to put us back as the great rulers of the world, the Jews did. We're going to be the ones in charge. We're going to be the ones that are going to put our foots on the neck of the people of this world. Let me tell you something. That's not it. Some people even today are looking for God's people to come back to this earth and to be the ones that rule this earth. Who wants this world? God's people shouldn't. We got a place that's better than this place could ever be. I don't care how good it's refurbished. We got a place called heaven. It's better than this old world. There's some people even in the church today that are going back looking at the idea of God refurbishing the earth. And I say, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Why? God wants the soul. The soul is not something of this earth. It is something that belongs at the throne of God, and God wants every soul there. What's God going to do? How's he going to do this? Let me tell you, he blew man's mind. Why did God send his son? Now, in the parable that we looked at, here this fellow said, listen, they'll have respect for my son. They'll be willing to listen to what he has to say, and they'll be willing to follow. They'll be obedient. But they killed his son. They killed the son. Now, look at this. Understand, God sent his son. Nobody had that idea. Nobody could come up with something like that. Why would God send his only begotten son down to this world? In John 3 and verse 16, we see this God who was willing to give his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, that they should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. That's what God is offering. That's what God wants to do. That God is trying to offer that to every one of us. On one occasion, he said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. I think he said it twice. Hear what he has to say. Well, now, is it just talking about listening to his words? Sometimes we get that idea. I'm telling you, it was more than that. He's saying, you look at his life. You look at how he lives. You see me here. You see God walking. You see God talking. You see God extending love. He was not just saying, listen to the words. He's saying, look at how he lives and you'll see me. On one occasion, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you that you don't understand this? It's not a matter of showing you the Father. Here I am. I'm living like the Father would live. I'm walking. I'm talking. I'm doing what the Father would do if the Father were here in this physical body. In fact, I am the Father. They were that close. Jesus Christ did not just come to save you. He came to show you the heart of God. Show you who God really is. You say, wait a minute, we've got the Old Testament. Yes, but we didn't get it. We didn't understand it. But he said, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to help you to understand it. So you see how I live. You see how I've conducted myself. You see how I've loved the sinner. I've loved those that were crippled, that couldn't walk. I've loved those that life had left them and they were dead. You could see the tears that shed over a great city because of its sin. You say, that was Jesus Christ. No. That's God. That's God doing it. You see, Jesus was walking and talking so that we could see God and see Him in flesh. And those people were able to see God and see Him in flesh. We're able to read about Him and know who He is and know what He's done for us. So Jesus came to this earth so that we could see the heart of God and see who God really was. But not only that, listen to this. Did I go too far? I think so. God sent His Son to teach us a better way of living. He showed us that we could overcome sin. The world had said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I'll hit you. You steal from me, I'll steal from you. And let me tell you something. That principle is still coming true even today. But thanks be to God. What Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 38 and 39 is also very important. That's what the world has said, but what did Jesus say? Jesus said, if they slap you on your right side of your cheek, you turn them to the left side. You accept the insults. You accept the punishment. You accept the shame. You accept the laughter. You accept all those things. Jesus said, I did that. Look at the cross. Look at the people as they slapped Him there and made fun of you. Look at as they made a crown of thorn and placed it on His head. Look at how that there He went through all that thing when He could have called enough angels down to wipe out the whole world. He had that much power. But He didn't use it. Somebody slapped His face. He had the power to take their hand off. But He didn't use it. He said, put me on a cross. Boy, on that cross He paid for our sins. But I'm going to suggest to you that on that cross He showed the heart of God and how God's heart is so loving and caring and tender toward us and wants to forgive us that it's just, how can you miss it? How can you not see what God has offered there for you? How can you not see the blessings that God has for you? Now look at this. God sent His Son to be the picture of power, and not only of power but of compassion. Walking on water, raising the dead, we already mentioned some of that, healing the sick. He showed the power of God. He showed He could speak and still a storm. The greatest storm on the sea that it could ever be. And He could say, peace be still, and it'd quit. Calm. It doesn't have that power anymore. John the Baptist was in jail. He sent disciples over there to talk to Jesus. I really think what he was trying to say is, I'm in jail. I'm going to die if you don't get this kingdom started pretty fast. Listen to what he told John. He told the disciples, said, go tell John these things, which you hear and you see. Right now, you're going to hear something and you're going to see something. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear about God. You're going to see God. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. John, do you understand what God's message is? Do you understand what God's trying to do? He's trying to help people. They're blind people now. They're deaf people now. They're lepers still now. But there is a God who can forgive it all. There is a God who can take all of those things on us on this earth and take every one of them away, and there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more heartache, there'll be no more trouble. It'll all be gone and we'll be rejoicing at the throne of God. That's what God has in store. That's what God wanted us to see. That's what God was going to do. And He started that through Jesus Christ. He's saying we're going to heal the things. The physical things, maybe. But especially the spiritual things. This is God. This is what God wants to do. Now, look at this. God sent His Son to be a blood sacrifice. Somebody had to pay for this. Somebody had to pay for sins, and God wants His Son to do that. In Mark 14 and verse 24, listen to this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. When He's talking about the Lord's Supper, no, He's talking about more than the Lord's Supper. He's talking about the sacrifice that God's going to give. What kind of sacrifice could God give? He could give the sacrifice that cut to the heart. It shed the blood of His Son on this earth. John 3 and verse 16 again. That's what He wanted to do. Listen to Hebrews 10 and verse 14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, talking about Jesus. In fact, if you want to read, just read 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Hebrews. He offered that one sacrifice for sin forever. Whatever you do, if you repent of it, God will forgive. And you need to know that. He'll put His sin so far away that you can't even see it. He'll put it so far away that He can't even see it. He will not remember it against us anymore. We will be those people that will be free. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, 1 John 1 and verse 7. It makes us right. It makes us whole. You look over the New Testament. I'm told that, according to what translation you use, that 318 times God in the New Testament says that Jesus Christ is going to come again and He's going to receive His people there. You know, if you say something 318 times, you kind of mean it. And you want people to remember it. You don't want them to forget it. God wants us to know that we can be forgiven of our sin. He has tried in every way possible to show to all of humanity how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, how much He's willing to forgive us. Look at through the Old Testament, all the times there that those people were willing to turn from sin and turn back to sin. Now, look at this one. This is a good one here. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to Me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You come, and I'll be the one that I will give you rest. Take My yoke. Take the work that I have for you. You take the load of the work that I have for you. You take that yoke, and you learn from Me. You've seen Me. You've seen God doing what He's going to do. You've learned this from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what God wants us to understand. We may have the picture of a God who is powerful and strong and lightning and thunder and all these things around Him. And it's the great power. Forget the power. Think of the God that wants to forgive you. The God that wants to take you and place you in His heart. I'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You say, well, that's Jesus. No, that's God speaking to humanity, saying, I have a way for you. I have a way for you, and I'm going to prepare it for you. I want you to be a saved person. I want you to be a forgiven person. Oh, God, you just don't know how much I sin. Oh, you don't know how much God forgives. And He continues to forgive. As many as receive Him, to Him gave He power to be the sons and the daughters, the children of God. Now, that's from the book. In John 1 and verse 12, that's the power we have. Nobody today should go out of here with sin on them. Nobody should do that. You don't have to. You say, well, if I respond publicly, people are going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you anyhow, so what's the difference? And who cares? They may say they want to get their heart right. They want to try to follow God. But I don't care if they throw rocks at you. I don't care what they do to you. I'm going to tell you something. When you do it, you're right with God. And if you're right with God, who cares what anybody thinks? Now, we have an invitation song to sing. That invitation song is for us to encourage each other to think about our stand before God. If you don't need to respond, don't do it. But if you need to, you do it as fast as you can. Don't wait for the last verse. But be willing to respond and be forgiven of sins. If there's a private sin that you've got that you and the Lord know about, you go right now while you're singing, stop singing, you get it right with God. You better. And I guarantee you He'll forgive you. If there's anything that has ever been true in this world, it is that God loves you and He wants to forgive you. He will not force. He will invite you to come. Please come right now.